I want to talk to you today about drawing close to God. Drawing close to God. And it's interesting because the Bible is very clear that there's some promises that you are guaranteed that if you draw close to God, God will do some things for you. But in the course of time, I don't know if you have experienced this, but maybe even in your life, there's been times when you've been on fire for God and you're drawing close to God, but there might have also been times when you're drifting away from God. And I want to talk about not only drawing close to God, but I want to talk about drifting away from God, because we see it clearly in the Word of God how important it is. So let's look at some passages. Let's look at some passages in the Bible that I think will help us to see with great clarity how important it is to not only draw close to God, but to see how important it is to make sure that we're not drifting away from God. Hebrews chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, or you want to read word for word, because we're reading on the New King James, you can look up here on the screens and see this. And the author of Hebrews says this: "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard." Then look what he says: "Lest we drift away." Somebody says, "I can drift away." How many know someone who used to be really close to God, but now they're not close to God? Have you known anybody like that? And maybe they were on the praise and worship team. Maybe they were even a pastor, or maybe they were an intern or something, and they were close to God and they were serving God, and you could see how awesome they were. They maybe inspired you. I remember when I was going to this church in junior high, there were some young adults, and they were serving God and they inspired me. They were serving God, and they caused me to want to be like them, because they were drawing close to God, and I could see that there were some wonderful benefits, and I looked up to them, and I wanted to be, like them, because they were like God. Paul says, "Follow me as I'm a follower of Christ," and there's people that inspire us, and these people did. Later on, years and years later, you know what? I was asking one time, "Fred, hey, what about this guy? What about that guy?" And it was very sad to me, because in those examples that I gave, you know what? I asked him, "What about this guy? What, oh, they're not serving God anymore. They're not, well, where do they go to church? They're not even going to church anymore." Now, here's what I want to say to you, that all of us can drift far away from God. And it comes just gradually, little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time. Drifting, if you look up what drifting is slow. Even in the definition, you know what? You don't see a speed jet. You know, when the speed jet goes wow. You ever see these jet boats that are just on the water? Wow. You don't see them. You don't say, "Wow, man, look at that boat drifting." No, that's not, because drifting indicates, even in its definition, this slowness. And so there's this real gradualness. You know, it's important to me. I was watching, if you're a Dodger fan, I don't mean to rip on you today, but and actually the Dodgers won last night, so hallelujah. But I don't want to talk about the last night game. I don't want to talk about last night's game. I want to talk about Friday night's game. Amen? So, you know, I didn't watch the whole game, just watched the last inning. But how many know the last inning was the best inning? Especially if you're Angel fan, the last inning was the best inning. And it was interesting because, watch this, because who is the pitcher for the Dodgers? Help me out. Who is the pitcher for the Dodgers? No, the guy at the end. Jensen. So thank you. So Jensen, did you watch the game? Okay. So were you a Dodger fan or an Angel fan? Dodger fan. Okay, sad game for you. Okay. So, but anyway. So I'm watching it, and I'm watching the game with Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul is a Dodger fan. And so, and he's all happy. You know, he's all happy. You know what I mean? Because Jensen is pitching. There's already two outs. And who is at bat? Who is at bat? The guy from Japan. Come on. You guys are all Dodger fans. Okay, anyway, this guy, he's amazing. He not only pitches, but he bats. This guy's an amazing guy. And so he was had two outs on the guy. And Paul's all smiling. So how many know it's not over till it's over? See, here's my point. You know, the Bible says, and listen, and I know people, you know what, can argue with me, you know what, but I'm just telling you, I can show it to you in the Word. You know what, the Bible says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, it doesn't make any difference that, you know what, see, Jensen, is that his name?
Kenley Jensen.
Okay, so he's pitching. It's the ninth inning. There's two outs. He's got two strikes. Notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't say, oh, man, I'm done. You know, this game's over. Why? Because it's not over. Amen. He's got to get one more pitch. So pitches again. High fastball. He thinks the guy's going to swing and it doesn't. Another high fastball. He thinks he's going to swing. Another high fastball. He walks him. He walks the guy. Then the guy steals second base. They throw it to second base. Overthrow second base. He's on third. You know what? Then, you know what? A guy gets a hit. Who's the guy? Puig bobbles it. Guess what? Angels win. Whatever. Okay. Here's my point. You know what? Here's my point. You know what? I've known a lot of people who are serving God and doing an awesome job in serving God. But the Bible says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Is that true? It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And some people can say, no. You know what? As soon as you accept God, and I'm not trying to get in a theological debate with anybody, but you know what? But here's why I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I'm not trying to get in a fight with anybody, but here's why I don't believe it. Because it's not substantiated in the Word of God. Ooh. See, be careful what you believe based on what a pastor says. Amen? Because it don't make no difference. It don't make any difference what I say. Amen? That's why I ask you to come to this church and bring your Bibles. That's why I put the Word of God on the screen, that you can see it. Can I show this to you, somebody? Okay. I could show it to you all day long, but I don't have all day long, so I got to do it quickly, okay? But I do want to show it to you because I'll show it to you in two places. Turn to Hebrews. Guys in the back, you got to flow with me. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 6. I'm reading out of the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay. There's a lot of good versions, but I have it up here on the screen that you can follow me word for word and make sure that I'm not taking something out of context. Look what it says. But Jesus as a son over his own house, whose house we are. What's that next word there? If we hold fast the confession of the confidence of the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. I didn't come up with this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Do you see that word there? It says if. See, we need to get our theology not from a pastor, not for somebody who went to seminary, you don't want to seminary, but from the Word, amen? That's where we get good theology. Can you say amen to this? And so the Bible is very clear that there's, did you see this word? If. See, the Bible says we need to pay attention to the things that were spoken, lest we drift. How many know somebody who's drifted away from God? And somebody said, no, but you know what? But they're still saved. Well, let me tell you what. They might think they're still saved, but what they think is not as valuable is in what God thinks. And the Bible says that, you know what? We need to endure to the end to be saved. The Bible says that, you know what? That we're in the house of God. Watch this. if we hold fast to the confidence of the rejoicing in the hope firm to the end. Do you see this? Okay, let me show it to you another place in Scripture. Just flip on right, you're right there. Just keep on going to verse 14. Look what verse 14 says. 14. Go to 13. Guys in the back, can you go to 13 for me? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Watch this. For we have become partakers of Christ. What's that word, next word there? See, can I tell you what? Last night, while you were sleeping, here's what I did. I went around, and I went over to your house, and I snuck in your house, and I opened up your Bible to this passage, and I wrote in "if" right there, every single one of you. How many know I didn't do that? No, I didn't write that in. God inspired, trying to communicate clearly what the truth is, says that this person who starts to serve God but then allows other things to get in the way, that, you know what, guess what? They are not there. That isn't what I've called you to do. I've called you to accept Jesus. It's like the guy who gets married. Hello? You ever know the guy who gets married? He's like, oh, thank God I got married. And during courtship, he's sweet and he's nice and he's flowers and he's candy and he opens up the door and all this stuff. But then he gets married, and what he does is he checks it off his list. Oh, I did that. And listen to me, guys. Man, I'm going to save you from a lot of pain. Amen. I'm going to bless you right now. Listen. It's not about checking it off your list. How many know your front-sided strength has a back-sided weakness? Ladies, listen. It's a front-sided strength. You need to pay attention. You need to thank God. When you're trying to get your man inside, it's time for dinner, and he says, just a minute, and it's you know what, 4 hours later. You need to thank God for your man. Amen. Thank God that he understands a purpose of getting something done. God put that in him. And don't get mad at him because of what God's put in him. That's a blessing. You know what? Men are called to get stuff done. Amen? But men, your front-sided strength has a back-sided weakness. So you're sweet, you're kind, you're nice, you're mindful, you're considerate, you pay attention, and then you get married and you checked it off your list. And you'll wait till after the honeymoon's over, but after the honeymoon's over, then you checked it off your list. And now what? Now you're on the next thing on your list. Amen. How many know that's not a good thing? Amen. And listen, and ladies, don't laugh too hard, because you do the same thing. Amen. Now, for you, you do it way later on. Amen. And he hurts you, and he hurts you, and he hurts you, and hurts you, and he hurts you, and he hurts you. And then you're like, man, I'm checking it off my list too. And you think because he's hurt you that you don't have to put any energy towards your marriage, and you justify it because of all the hurt and the pain you've gone through. Let me tell you what, two wrongs don't make a right. And you're going to say, listen to me, I don't know who this is for. It's for someone, but listen. But two wrongs don't make a right. And you have justified your backing off. And you think you don't have to do anything for the marriage now because of all that hurts he's done. You've justified it. But let me tell you what, you can't check it off your list either. Both of you have to make energy and effort in your marriage. Amen. Come on, I want a corporate amen for both men and women. Can I get an amen from men and women? But see, why do I use this example? Because God is into this relationship. and somebody gets saved, somebody has an experience with God, at junior high camp, at high school camp, when they were a young adult, and they were serving God and serving God and serving God, but you know what the Bible says? They started to drift. They started to drift. Daniel, can you come on up here? I'm going to use you. Can you change your seat? I want you sitting right here today. Amen. Daniel is one of our LITs, and he is a blessing. You know what? A blessing in so many ways. I love Daniel. You know what? He is, this truth, he is pound for pound the strongest man I've ever known. Okay. He's such a blessing, and one of his strengths is his attitude. So Daniel is going to be a lot of examples for me today, but right now he's going to be our God figure. Amen? We'll pretend Daniel's God, okay? Go back to that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Let me show you. Therefore, we must give attention, give the more earnest heed to the things which we heard. What's that? That's the things that God is speaking to us in the Word and by His Spirit. We've got to make sure that that is really important to us. Watch this. Lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. When I was a surf cat living in Newport Beach, and I lived on 32nd Street. I would walk just down the street to the sand. Take my surfboard almost every day. You can sit on down, but get ready to jump back up. And I would surf right off of those rocks on 32nd Street. And there were times, particularly if the waves were big, that I'd surf and surf and surf. Well, 2 hours later, I'd get out of the water. And when I'm getting out of the water, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go home. And I knew how long it would take me to walk home. And I thought, I'm going home. Well, when I got out of the water, I recognized I'm not at 32nd Street. I'm at 58th Street. What did that mean? You know what that meant? That meant I had a long walk home. That's what that meant. But I didn't recognize that I didn't recognize where I was. Here's why. Because you don't drift quickly. You drift slowly. And so somebody's close to God. See, if I talk to these people, listen to me. If I talk to these people who were my mentors when I was in junior high, when I was high school, who were going to this church and serving God and coming to church Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday and serving God and were a great example to me. If I talk to them today, some of them who are not serving God, they don't have a church, they're not tithing, they're not giving, they're not serving, they're not any of these things that are not important to them. If I said, you know what, what's with you? What happened? They say, what do you mean what happened? What do you mean what happened? Well, you're not close to God. They would argue with me and say, I am too close to God. And they, one of the things they'd say right away is, wait a minute. You don't have to go to church to be close to God. I'm going to pick that up in a minute. But right now, today, if we went, come back up in a minute. Right now, if we went to the golf course, you know what I would find at the golf course? Okay. I would find golfers. Thank you very much. I would find, but you know what? What would I find? Here's what I find. I'd find people who love golf. Amen? I'd find people who love golf. I'd find people, you know, this is a true story. If we went, you know, you could go to a golf course today and find people who've spent $9,000 on golf clubs. Tell me if this isn't true. You know what, Connie? Can you buy one driver? One driver. Driver's the big daddy, the big guy. Can you spend over $500 for one driver? More than that. You can spend over $1,000 on a driver? You know, I could find somebody, and just in their bag, there would be over, you know what, easily over $9,000 worth of golf clubs. Who would do that? Let me tell you who would do that. Somebody who loves golf. Amen? You know, you could go to a golf course, and you know they sell these. You know, you could buy a Gucci golf bag. A Gucci, who wants to buy a goofy golf? Goofy, I said it again. I did that in the first service, didn't me? Who wants to buy, how many know it's goofy to buy a Gucci golf bag? Amen, I think it is. But say, how many know if you love golf, you don't think it's goofy? You're like, you're like thinking, oh, look, I got a Gucci golf bag. You think you're all that? Why? Because you love golf, amen? That's why you, where your treasures are, your heart is also. You spend time, you spend money. That's why you're into it, amen? You ever see these bowling guys? You know what I mean? Amen? I didn't mean to wear my bowling shirt today, but somebody says that. You know, I wore this shirt, whatever, a year ago. Somebody said, hey, Pastor, are you bowling today? I don't know. This is my bowling shirt. This is my cool cat shirt, amen? This is a shirt you wear when it's 100 degrees, amen? But here's my point. My point is, how many know you can go to the bowling alley, and these guys, man, they got, y'all, you know, they got the, they, you know, they don't have the cheesy shoes that you rent for $2.50. You know, somebody who, you know, eight people who wore those shoes before you did. No, they're not. They got their own shoes, amen? And they're not red and white and blue and funky. No, they're nice, amen? How many know what I'm talking about? They get out the ball, and you're just like, wow, that's a shiny ball, you know what I mean? And it fits just right. It's not like the ones that I got, you know, I ran in and it kind of goes clunk, 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 clunk. No, they got their own ball, amen? Why? Because they're serious about it. And they got this whole style, you know. And they go up and they you know, they go like this, and they got the, you know, they got the this one. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, what's going on? You know, I don't know. You know, that does that help the ball go straight? I don't know, but I'm gonna try it. Right? Right, the leg. You catch that? That's what, you know, they got it. You know what? They don't throw the ball straight. They do that curve thing, you know, and just, you think it's gonna go out of bounds, but all of a sudden it goes boom and hits all the pins down. Amen. What are they? Man, they're into it. How many know they're into it? Okay. And I could talk to my friend and say, what happened? And they're going to say, no, let me tell you what. Just because I don't go to church don't mean I don't love God. Can I tell you what's going on? My God figure. Come on, back up. Appreciate you taking notes. But listen, what's happening? Here's what's happening. Watch this. Least we drift away. Now watch this. I'm serving God. I come Sunday and Wednesday. You know what? I give. I'm a giver. I'm a server. I'm just a pastor. I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm close to God. Answer this question. But then I start to drift away. Watch this. Just a little bit. You know, after all, you know, you don't have to come on Sunday and Wednesday. Right? You know, I mean, who's going to go to hell if they don't come to church on Wednesday? Is this not right? Listen to me. For those of you, listen, I'm just saying, for those of you, and some of you have to work, listen, on Wednesday, or some of you, we have Wednesday people, they got to work on Sunday. Listen, let me teach you something. Let me be a good pastor. Let me teach you something. Start to draw close to God. Start to enjoy the service on Sunday and Wednesday. Start to understand that you can draw close to God as you're coming on Sunday and Wednesday. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell if you don't go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. Here's what I'm saying, that you're going to be, that the closer you get to God, the more you're going to be blessed. Yes. Without a doubt. That's what I'm telling you. Amen? Amen? Amen. And you say, yeah, but I've got to work. Well, listen, the favor of God is on you. Start to believe for a job that will give you, you know what, favor, and that you can come Sunday and Wednesday. Can you say amen? Amen. But you're backing up just a little bit. Here's a question. Watch this. Are you still close to God? Now are you still close to God? See, the thing about drifting that's so dangerous is that you're going from 32nd Street to 36th Street to 38th Street to 40th Street to 42nd Street. Are you still close to God? Are you still close to God? Now, think of the analogy. You say, Pastor, you're not. No, you're not. Wait. When I got out of the water at 58th Street, where did I think I was getting out of the water? I thought I was at 32nd Street. But I wasn't. I was at 58th Street. See, what I'm saying to you is because of the casualness, because of the slowness of drifting, you don't even recognize what's happening in your life. And if I talk to those people that used to be an example to me, they would argue with me that they're still close to God, when obviously they are not. Obviously. And let me warn you, I'm still smiling, am I not? That Jesus said in Matthew that many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, and I will say to them, depart from me, you doers of iniquity, I never knew you. These are people who really think that Jesus is their Lord. Why do they think that? Because at one time they were close to him. Why are they deceived? Because drifting is slowly. Somebody say, drifting is slowly. You know what? If we looked at it, if we looked at that clock back there and we looked at it and said, okay, you know what? Can you see the second hand moving? You could see the second. You know, yes, it's moving. But if we said, is the minute hand moving? You might argue with me that the minute hand isn't moving. Here's why. Because you can't perceive that it's not moving. Or you can't perceive that it is moving. And there are people in the room who would adamantly argue with me if we looked at the second, the hour hand. That hand is definitely not moving. Why? Here's why. Because it's moving so slowly. And you perceive that moving slowly isn't moving. I would argue moving slowly is moving. It's just moving slowly. And if you back up a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time, there will be a day that you will wake up and you will be far away from God. Here's the scary part. Because it's happened so slowly in your life, you don't even recognize how far away from God you are. Oh, is somebody glad they came today? You don't even recognize it. You think you're still close to God, but you're not. You're far from God. My first point. Guys in the back, my first point. Drifting away from God means that you're drifting towards something. I'm drifting away from God. Watch this. But just because I'm drifting away from God, what am I doing? See, we think to drift away from God, we're fine. No. If God, watch this. If God, Daniel again, if God is the blesser, I'm going to show you in the Word of God, God is the blesser. The closer you get to God, the closer you're going to live with peace, joy, comfort. You're going to be less frustrated. I'm telling you what. Listen to me. Your life is going to be, the closer you get to God, the better your life is going to be. Well, what's the reciprocal of that? The farther away from God, you're not just drifting away from God, you're drifting to something. Somebody say to something. What are you drifting to? What are you drifting towards? You're drifting away from the blesser, so you are drifting towards hopelessness, depression, impoverishment, sickness, disease, frustration, aggravation, depression. You already said depression. All right, I said it again. Anxiety. Do you understand? We are deceived. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Look it up on the screen with me. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden from the garden? What did we learn? We learned that what we've got to focus on even more intensely is what is God saying. And so, you know what? Our enemy wants to know, do you know what God says? Well, Eve kind of knew. Look. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall touch it, lest you shall die. She added some to that. That's not the point. I don't have time to preach on that. But here's my point. She kind of knew what God said. Watch what Satan does. Look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Here's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to drift away from the blesser and think that there is no consequences for you drifting away. No. I know what God said, but you can eat it and it won't make any difference. And that lie has crept into the church, such to the point that we think that it doesn't make any difference if we give. You know what I mean? We can give, we cannot give, it doesn't make any difference, whatever. We can live in sin. We can have bad attitude. You know, I'm just saying, the one of the worst sins that exists in the church is people walking around with a bad attitude. They got a bad attitude towards their business. They got a bad attitude towards their boss. They got a bad attitude towards their family. They got a bad attitude towards their husband, towards their wife, whatever. And they think that's just okay. It's not okay. Sin is, let me tell you what, the more that you, somebody say sin is deception. I don't think I'll have time to show it to you, but the Bible says in Hebrews that sin deceives. And it's just a little bit of time, and you think everything's okay. You think everything's okay, and it's not okay. Okay, now my example, now he's not God, okay? Now he's some guy going to a disco, okay? Okay? Do they still have discos? I don't know, okay. Okay, whatever you call it, honk, honky tonk. You're going someplace to get your groove on. You know what I mean? And so you go there, and you know what? And they play, you know what? And all of a sudden, you know what? They play, you know what? Play this funky music, white boy, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, I love that groove. And you know what? You grab this guy, and you're like, oh, dance with me, you know? And you know what? And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to dance with you. You know what? All night long, I'm going to dance with you. And so he's got, how many know this guy's motive isn't that pure, you know what I mean? He's thinking, man, I got somewhere to go, and it's not just in the dance floor. Amen? Come on. Some of you look at me like, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. Whatever. Okay? But so you know what? So you're dancing with this guy, and then the next thing you know, he's like, hey, mama, you a fine mama. And you know, I'm going to give you, you know, how about a whiskey sour or, a, you know, 7-7, I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? How about a beer? You know what I mean? I mean, whatever. You know, let's party. You know what I mean? And you know what? Right? You know, like it's 19 what? 99. Okay, you got it? So you understand where? Okay, so, and then this guy's like, hey, and he, you know what, and boom, he, you know what, you know, what's the cool, you know, he hooks up. Something like, I don't even know what that means. Okay, whatever. He goes home, and he, you know, whatever, so he's like, hey, baby, come over to my house. He sleeps with her. Let's go over to your house, or whatever it is. Let's find a dark place, you know what, and boom, he sleeps with her. And here's what I'm saying. Listen. And now he's driving home. And he's driving home and he's thinking, man, you know what? I got going on. Okay. Well, listen, let me say. Say hello to daddy. Say hi to daddy. Here's why. Because that's who he is tonight. You know what? Single man tonight became daddy man. See, let's tie it back to what I said. Here's the deception. That you can drift away from God And that you can drift away from God and there's no negative consequence. No, you're not just drifting away from God, you're drifting to something. What are you drifting? Hey, does somebody want to know something that isn't told to you by the politicians? You know what is the easiest way to take care of poverty? You know what, statistically, easiest way to take care of poverty in America? Here's what it is. You know what? Start, you know what, making sure everybody who is born to a mom and dad. A committed mom and dad. You will strike poverty out like that. I know that's not politically correct. I'm just telling you the truth. See, when you draw close to God, you're drawing close to the blesser. When you do things God's way, when a city, when a country, when a family does things God's way, there are these benefits that happen automatically. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you think, see, that's why the Bible says, when the Bible says in Galatians, it says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You know what it says before that? It says, do not be deceived. Because why? Because Eve was deceived. She thought that she could eat of the true tree and not have any negative consequences. Matter of fact, just the opposite. She thought eating of the tree was going to be positive. This guy's not ready to be a dad. This figure, okay? He's not ready to be a dad. He's not ready to be financially, emotionally. He's not ready to be dad. And the Bible tells him that there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. He shouldn't be getting his groove thing on, hooking up with some lady he don't even know, totally not even committed to her. She shouldn't be doing it either. She's not ready to be a mama. Wow, Pastor, I don't think you're supposed to say that anymore in church. That's like not the cool thing to say. Well, listen, I'm not trying to be cool. I'm trying to be a blessing to you. And what I'm saying is, maybe you're not married to the person you're next to. Maybe you're not married. We don't have a litmus test on the door. We're not asking, maybe you're coming from all kinds of places in life. I don't know. For all I know, you know what? You smoked a marijuana cigarette before you came to church this morning. I don't know and I don't care. It don't make any difference. I'm not here to criticize you and I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to tell you that, you know what? Drifting is a slow process. I'm here to tell you that the more you go away from God, the worse your life is going to be. I'm here to tell you, don't think that you can drift from God and you're not drifting towards destruction and death and misery and heartache. And don't think, my second point, and don't think that turning towards God isn't going to take you effort. Nobody drifts aimlessly towards God. I don't know what happened. I was just driving. Matter of fact, I was just going to get a donut today. And I just was driving to get a donut. And all of a sudden, my car just all of a sudden landed. It's like, oh, woo, I'm in church. Oh, what happened? Where's my donut? That didn't happen. You know why you're in church today? Because you made a decision last night. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to that church. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to Hope Community Church. That's why you're here today. And in the morning when Satan says, oh, you don't feel good. It's, you know, when it's, you know, it's too hot. You know what I mean? Or whatever he said to try to get you to stay in bed. You said, no, I'm not. I'm going to church. Amen. What's my point? You don't drift back to God. You are purposeful to swim back to God, to make an effort back to God. Christianity and being close to God is because you purpose in your life, I'm going to start to read the Bible every day. I'm gonna come to church not just Sunday. I'm gonna start coming to church Sunday and Wednesday. I'm gonna come to church every Sunday. I related to that guy. I was like, oh, tithing, that's crazy. But when God spoke to me and I thought, man, I want to change my life. I want to be broken off of that impoverishment. I want to start trusting God in everything, even in my finances. And let me tell you what, is you know, that tithing check, you know, you're not just going to all of a sudden get out your checkbook and just, what's going on with my hand? I don't even know. No, that's not going to happen. You're going to have to make a purpose in your life that, you know what, you are going to become part of the solution.
Yes, amen.
To, you know what, to make sure this whole valley gets saved.
Amen.
You're going to have to make a purpose. And then finally, and I'll close with this. Understand this. That when you make a purpose, when you decide, I'm going to draw close to God, that there is many, many promises in the Word of God. But one of the promises is that when you draw close to God, watch this, when you draw close to God, God, just take one step, draws close to you. And you draw close to God, God see, I'm telling you what, the mighty, sovereign, awesome creation says, I see what you're doing, and I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm drawing close to you. Wow, what a promise. What an incredible God. And let me tell you who's drawing close to you. So, but Pastor, that's not why I'm doing it. Okay, I get that. But it's also the reality. You know who he is? He is the one. Let me tell you who he is. He is the one who, you know what? When somebody heard that Jesus was the healer, how many know Jesus is God? When somebody heard that Jesus was the healer, somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody who knew someone who was sick and dying of leprosy. And they said, hey, you got to get to Jesus. And somebody told somebody told somebody. And here's what the Bible says. And that day that, you know what, that they all came, of all the surrounding cities, they brought all those people who were sick. Interesting words. All those who were sick in all the surrounding cities. How many know if Jesus was healing in Pico Rivera, and if all the surrounding cities, what's that? That's Montebello, that's South El Monte, that's Whittier, that's Downey, Santa Fe Springs. How many know if all those surrounding cities, just surrounding Pico Rivera, if they brought all the sick, how many know Jesus was to have a lot of people to heal?
Amen. Yes.
And here's what the Bible says concerning that, that he healed them all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know why he healed them all? Here's why. Because God is the blesser. Yeah, but what if they did something? What if they did? Boop, 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 boop. Here's what the Bible says. That anyone calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes.
It doesn't make any difference what you did. It doesn't make any difference your past. It doesn't make any difference that all those who said, Jesus is going to be my healer today, and they came to him. Jesus, not one person did he say, no, 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 no. Let me tell you what. Because the sickness is so bad. Because of what you've done is so bad. Because I don't like your hair today. Because, oh, sometimes you never know God. Sometimes he heals and sometimes he doesn't. And you never know what God's going to do. No, that's what you're going to hear from some goofball on the radio. Amen. But that's not what you're going to hear from Jesus. That's not what you're going to read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. It's just you're not going to find it there. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not even a shadow of turning in him. That's what the Bible says. And let me tell you about God. God is the blesser. There's no one. And I said no one. There's no one that God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the bread. I'm going to take the fish. I'm going to bless it. Ooh, but let me tell you what. Let me tell you, you over there, you're extra bad. And I'm going to give you a little bit.
Oh, come on, man.
I saw you the other day. I saw what you did. No, anybody who had the faith to say, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what Jesus said. He told the apostles, get them to sit down in hundreds and fifties. And anybody who was smart enough to say, I'll tell you what. I'm going to sit on down, man. I'm getting ready for some food. My dad was an awesome man. Sometimes we'd go to eat. True story. Sometimes we'd go to eat. And Jonathan, grab me a napkin. Run real quick. Grab me a napkin. Thank you. My dad would sometimes, this is going to be silly, but my dad, it would be big. My dad would go like this right here. I mean, right in the middle. He's a grown man. He got this silly thing. What's he doing? He's getting ready to eat, man. Any one of those people. Should I take this off? No, I'm just going to leave it on for illustration. Okay, I'm a goofball, but you're going to learn something, amen? Here's my point. My point is, when these people sat down and they said, you know what? I'm expecting that Jesus is going to heal me. Guess what? I'm expecting that Jesus is going to feed me. Jesus fed them. He fed them. Why? Because let me tell you what. When you are drawing close to God, the blesser is drawing close to you. And you're drawing close to him, and he's drawing close to you. And guess what? He is the blesser, and he is going to bless you. Why? Because that's what he is. He's not a respecter of persons. The currency. The currency of the kingdom of God is faith. The currency of the kingdom of God is simply putting your trust in God. That's why all those people that came, they got healed. Yeah, but I heard a pastor say, I know. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Because he didn't get to anybody and say, no, your sickness is different. I can't heal you. There's not one. There's not anybody that he didn't feed. Why? Because let me tell you who God is. God is the blesser. Maybe, I don't know what's going on in your life. For all I know, you came and your shirt's ironed like my shirt is. Your pants are ironed. You washed your hair. You washed your face. You combed your hair. You shaved your head. I don't know, whatever. But how many know everybody's got different styles? Okay, right? But I'm saying, whatever you did, you are physically, you know what? You came presentable. But God read me your mail today. And maybe for some of you, you've drifted away just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. And you know you've drifted away. And you didn't know it when you first came in. But now God is showing you a picture to say, hey, look, recognize. You're not reading the Bible. You know what? The last time you gave $20, which is just absolutely a little tip. I heard a pastor say the other day, you know what? And he said, you know what? He said, we need to stop tipping God. Come on. Giving him a little tip. No. Understand God's plan. God's plan is that you would be part of funding the kingdom of God. And I like what Jimmy Evans said. I understand that makes people feel uncomfortable. I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm trying to change your thinking to understand that if you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. And you won't ever regret it. Because let me tell you about the character of God. You will just be blessed by the fact that you're hanging out with God. Amen. Remember when I was a kid, we lived in La Puente. How many know there's not a lot of rich, you can sit on now. How many know there's not a lot of rich people live in La Puente? And we weren't one of them either. I'm sure there are, you know, I'm not saying, I love La Puente, beautiful place, but I'm just saying there are not a lot of rich people in La Puente. And we lived in a cul-de-sac, and you know what, I wasn't raised in an affluent family. You know what? My mom used to have, once a week, we used to have Swanson pot pies.
You know, the little Swanson pot pies. I think they cost a whole 59 cents. Back then, I think they were 13 cents for a pot pie. They weren't worth 5 cents, but whatever. But my mom, listen, but my mom had that as part of the regiment of what we had to eat because it was inexpensive. Amen? And so, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh no, pot pie. Listen, I hated pot pies at night. Here's why. Because, you know, how many know they still taste like a 59-cent pot pie? Amen? You want a good pot pie? Let me tell you what. You spend $4.89 and you get a Marie Callender's pot pie. Oh, hallelujah. Amen? You know, this is a true story. This is a true story. I'm going all over the place. This is a true story. I hated pot pies. I didn't even know I liked pot pies. Why? Because I hated pot pies. And one time I think my wife, she ordered a pot pie at Marie Callender's. You know what? And I tasted some of her pot pies. Or Marie Callender's, it was whatever. And all of a sudden I got a revelation. Hey, pot pies are good. Amen? But here's the point. When I was a kid, eating those, Swanson pot pies, they were awful. I hated them for two reasons. One, I hated them because they taste awful. And two, I hated them because, you know what? I mean, you know how little those pot pies are? It's like, oh, it's fasting night. You know, that's pot pies. Pot pies are like, oh, fasting night tonight. Amen? And the truth is, we had a lot of fasting night because let me tell you about another fasting night we had. My mom used to make round steak. You know what round steak is? I don't even know why round. They shouldn't even call it steak. And this is a true story. My mom used to take this hammer, amen, and it had a hammer and it had these things at the end, and she'd just beat the tar out of it, amen. Why is she beating this? Here's why, because it's so tough. You know what she's doing? Here's what she's doing. What are you doing, Mom? I'm tenderizing this. Well, Mom, here's a thought. Here's a thought. I'm not a cook, but here's a thought. You know what? Buying a piece of meat that you got to just beat the crud out of it, you know what, to get it to eat, might be not a meat that we should be eating, amen? So she beat it to make it so you could chew it. And it tasted awful. So then she would put lemon on it to make it taste good. Okay, let me tell you what. She's trying to fix it. Amen? Let me give you a revelation. You can't fix round steak. Amen? You should just throw it away. Amen? Give it to the dogs. Don't beat it and try to fix it. You know what? It was awful. That was another, it's round steak night. Oh, another fasting night. Amen? I was the holiest kid in all my block. Amen? Because I fasted twice a week. Pastor George, I fasted twice a week when I was growing up. Like it or not, I fasted twice a week. I don't even know my point now, but... Can somebody help me out on my point? Nobody can help me out on my point? I just kept on going down and down and down. My wife says I drifted, amen? She just found my point. My point is don't drift, don't stay on target, amen? Okay. But that will be my point, and here's my point. My point is, for all of us, we can drift off the point, after point, and you know what? And we drift away from Jesus. And when you drift away from Jesus, listen, you're drifting away from the blesser. And you're not, listen, and you're not going to drift back to him. You're not going to drift back to him. You have to be purposeful that you are going to draw. That's why the Bible says, it doesn't say, draw close to God and he'll draw close. It doesn't say, drift to God and God will drift to you. Why? Because this isn't coincidental. It's purposeful. You have to draw. You have to be intentional to say, I'm going to get up today. Just like you were intentional and you came to church today. You have to be intentional to read your Bible. You have to be intentional to be a giver. You have to be intentional to be a server. You have to be intentional. Yes. Amen. I'm glad you came today.
If something that was said ministered to you, if you feel like, Pastor, I've drifted, and I'm not here to judge you, I'm not saying, oh, look at that bad person, raise their hand, they're drifted. It's not really none of my business. The only reason I want you to raise your hand is because I want you to not leave that you don't say and recognize where you're at. For some of you, you've drifted far away from God, and you came in, and you didn't even know you were far away from God, but the Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. For some of you, all you've done is you've just drifted a little bit. But in your heart, you recognize, man, I'm not as close as I used to be to God. And if I've drifted a little bit, then I can drift a little bit more. And I don't want to be like that. I want to draw close to God. I want to respond to what God is saying. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you right now before we dismiss, before we close, before we leave this place. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Father, you see the hands that are up, and nobody forced their hands to be up, but Father, we thank you that we will be purposeful, that whether it's reading our Bible, giving, coming to church, whether it's just praying, but we would be mindful that we would draw close to you today. Father, I thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit reveal this to people and give them the plan to draw close to you. Thank you that they will be obedient in doing what you've asked them to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.